Out in the Bay is proudly supported by Xfinity, celebrating Pride with TV, movies, and more in 2020. Xfinity has curated an LGBTQ film and TV destination on its X1, Flex, and Stream platforms that celebrates the community all year long. Just say Pride into your Xfinity voice remote. Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. It's the 50th anniversary of SF Pride, but it definitely won't be the party that planners had envisioned a year ago or even 4 months ago. The COVID pandemic means no huge parade up Market Street and no public parties. And the continued killings of Black people, especially by police and many of them transgender, have resulted in nationwide protests demanding social justice and real police reform, and demands that the queer community examine its own racism, misogyny, and transphobia. With all that, the focus of Pride this year has definitely shifted. Yet there are still things to celebrate, including recent U.S. Supreme Court rulings and ways to participate from the comfort of your couch. Here with me to talk about a half century of Pride, what we can celebrate, how we can celebrate, and what we still need to fight for are the head of Pride herself, Carolyn Weisinger. Welcome, Carolyn.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
And Cecilia Chung, a past SF Pride president and the director of evaluation and strategic initiatives at the Transgender Law Center. Welcome, Cecilia.
Hi, Eric. Thank you for having me.
A little bit later this half hour, we'll bring in the president of the LGBTQ employee group at one of the corporations that sponsors Pride and usually has a contingent in the parade. Obviously, they can't do that this year. So we're conducting this interview on Friday, Juneteenth, just a week before Pride weekend begins. So, Carolyn, there's so much going on right now. Earlier this month, some people were questioning whether this Pride should be canceled to show solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. What are your thoughts about that?
My thoughts on that was that for me as an African-American, that was one of the most offensive questions that I could get because to me it showed a huge amount of privilege that certain people have in seeing Pride as not being inclusive of Black people. You don't have to stop Pride to focus on Black people. As a matter of fact, Pride was started by a Black trans woman who was throwing a brick in defense of a Black butch woman. So Pride, Stonewall itself, was a defense of Black bodies. So we are going forward. We're making sure that we are doing the best job that we can, highlighting our Black queer and trans, especially our Black trans voices, and really telling that story of the original Stonewall. I was shocked that a lot of people didn't know that about Stonewall. We all know who Marsha P. Johnson was. Now, I'm just reminding folks, she was a Black trans woman. So just keep saying that over and over again, re-educating folks. So that's, to me, a blessing in what's currently feels like a mess.
Okay, fair enough. And what do we have? I'll ask you both, but Carolyn, let's start with you. What do we have to celebrate right now?
We celebrate our past and the resiliency of our history. And to me, also looking at our flaws is part of celebration. You know, our theme this year was Generations of Hope. I said at the mayor's office when we did our kickoff before COVID, before there was a pandemic, I said that, you know, I'm a African-American that grew up in the church, and we had a bishop named Carlton Pearson, who was a famous bishop who used to always talk about reminding people of hope. So to me, our forefathers and foremothers, they gave us the hope. You know, Bayard Rustin and Harvey Milk, they gave us hope. But now our job here in 2020 is to remind people of the hope. So, you know, the Supreme Court decision was a great victory. But we also had to then remind people that the Supreme Court victory came on the back of the 1964 Voters' Rights Act. So it came on the back of Black folks who were hung, Black people who were, you know, beat by bullwhips on bridges and all those things. So that reminds us that we have to still keep fighting even with that decision. So there's successes and losses, and for Pride it's always been a celebration and commemoration of both.
Carolyn, I think that was really well said, you know, and historically, when I was on the Pride board, you know, we actually have divided the weekend into two parts. You know, one part is the celebration, one part is the protest. Usually, you know, Saturday is the protest and Sunday is the big parade. Thankfully, on Monday, you know, like Supreme Court ruled that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act does include sexual orientations and gender identity, that transgender employees and LGB employees are protected under the Civil Rights Act Title VII. So that kind of hand us, you know, like a big win, you know, that because we can now, you know, like use that as a case law, you know, and cite that, you know, that LGBT people are protected, you know, against discrimination from their employment. There are still going to be work, I think, that we have to do, because just because there are languages to say you're protected doesn't mean that people practice that. You know, like the current administration is a prime example. I think that the reason we get to this point, this mess, was because, you know, like they're trying to like overturn everything that a black president had put into laws. And that's how deep I think, you know, sometimes if we look at, you know, the history of this country, how different things are. But there are something really important for us to celebrate. I don't know if you have watched the coverage of the rally to support Black trans lives in Brooklyn. I have never seen a crowd that big, you know, to turn out for Black trans people. And that gave us hope. And I think that that's really important to hold on to, especially in this moment. So, yeah, so I think that that's quite a bit to celebrate. You know, there are still fights that we have to continue, but people are not having it anymore. They continue to show up. They continue to like interrupt status quo, you know, to like get their voice heard.
Was something like 15,000 people showed up for that march on June 14th?
Well, at least 15,000, but like from just looking at it from, you know, like those cameras from above, I would say that it's probably up to like 20,000 people.
Cecilia, one more question I want to ask you is that you were on the board of directors, the SF Pride Board of Directors from 98 to 2005 and were the president in 2001. I'm curious to know what progress you saw, especially during your tenure and since that time.
I want to express my gratitude that it was a black gay man who brought me onto the Pride Board, Calvin Gibson. And, you know, and I consider him one of my mentors because he really showed me what inclusion looks like. And it was during that time that the board had set up a lot of really strong policies, including that we want to mirror the city in terms of the equal benefits ordinance. So if like sponsors or contractors do not have like languages in there to protect domestic partners, we did not enter into contract with them. So, you know, that's a huge requirement. And because we're such a big event, you know, a lot of like companies and corporations really change, you know, like their practices in order to participate. The third important thing to celebrate is the diversity. I think Calvin was the first black gay man to be the president of Pride Board. Black gay man living with HIV, like on the Pride Board. And I was like privileged enough to get elected as the first Asian trans woman living with HIV on the Pride Board. And since then, you know, we have two other trans women who have been like Pride Board members, you know, and that's like Michaela Connell and Nikki Kama, who is still like talking about longevity. Nikki Kama is still on the board terrorizing Carolyn, I'm sure.
She's not terrorizing. She's one of my. She's a great support. I need her historical perspective always.
She's keeping you honest, huh?
Yes.
So Carolyn, tell us about the virtual celebration this year. What is the lineup and what events and performances are you most excited about?
So we've planned 13 hours of programming that they're going to start on Saturday, June the 27th. So on June the 27th, we will be streaming from 1 p.m. to, I believe, 9 p.m. And then on Sunday from 2 to 7. So we have several different performers, DJs, speakers, a short talk between myself and someone special who I can't say just yet. our announced headliner for Saturday is the Queen of Bounce, Big Frida, who is I'm absolutely looking the most forward to. The only thing I'm sad about is that it's virtual, and normally we will be backstage with her at the performance, but it'll still be awesome, so I'm looking forward to that. And we have another legendary performer who's going to be announced as our headliner to close us out on Sunday, so I'm excited about that. And also,
you can't tell us the name yet.
I can't tell you the name yet. Our press director will kill me if I tell you the name. And then there's a couple of the outside events that happen. This is going to be the 25th anniversary of the Pink Triangle in Twin Peaks. So that's going to be illuminated on Friday right after the Trans March. It's going to be lit up. Our goal was to be able to do our best to pick up what you see at City Hall and just put it on the computer, which started with a far-fetched idea from me, who just, I saw DJs on Instagram, and I thought it was just going to be that simple. I said, hey, let's just put some DJs on Instagram. And then it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But I'm happy about it because I believe, and I've been telling folks, that I think that Virtual Pride will follow us even once we're back in physical form. You know, it's something that gives everyone the opportunity to participate. I mean, if you want to see Big Frida, normally you would have to come to San Francisco to see her. Now you'll be able to just go to sfpride.org and you'll be able to see her amazing performance.
Is there some collaboration with other prides in other parts of the world?
Well, SF Pride is separate, but we're also participating. So the Global Pride is being put on by the Inter Pride Organization, which is the International Organizations of Prides. So we did submit a package on behalf of San Francisco to be part of Global Pride, and that's going to be amazing as well. I mean, they have great partners like Todrick Hall. I heard that the Obamas are going to make an appearance over on Global Pride. So there's a lot of good virtual programming that's going to be happening on that weekend.
I love Todrick Hall. Tell me a little bit more about Big Frida. She's from New Orleans, is that right?
She's from New Orleans. Bounce music is something that for a long time, only folks who were, and I'm from Louisiana, and even I wasn't necessarily in the bounce culture, but she has really been a big part of really bringing bounce to the mainstream, and especially being a black, openly queer, very queer, like there is nothing like hidden about Big Frida. So, you know, she has done a lot as far as visibility for black queer folks and just a different perspective, a different type of music in the LGBT movement.
Okay, fantastic. Well, obviously, Carolyn, I don't have to ask how you're going to be spending Pride this year because I know you'll be busy like crazy. Cecilia, what are your plans for how you're going to spend Pride this year?
To be absolutely honest, I actually I'm kind of relieved that there are not a whole bunch of like activities that require, you know, me attending in person. And so I can definitely enjoy some downtime during the weekend without feeling guilty. You know, like for like over 20 years, I feel guilty not to like show up at Pride because, you know, like, it's almost like that's our responsibility, you know, to be there, you know, to stand up and be that beacon of hope for others to see. But now, you know, everything is so globalized. I think that, you know, this whole like virtual celebrations are going to be one of the norms moving forward. And because of that, you know, like the community becomes even more accessible to people who are not, you know, like there locally. So I'm excited about it. So I'll be checking a lot of things out. And I also am trying to decide if I'm going to go to the Pride is a Riot March. And that's happening on Sunday as well. So it's only like do a protest march in solidarity with Black Lives Matter. So I think that people, if they want to go, they can go and still get home and enjoy the rest of the Pride.
Okay, thank you. Cecilia, there's been some controversy over the corporate influence on Pride over the years. A lot of people are like, oh, the floats, there's too many of them. It takes too long. We don't want all this corporate influence on what was started as a revolutionary thing. But corporations are such a large part of America that change from within some of these big companies propels the civil rights movement. And I'm curious to know what your views are about that, about the relationship between Pride or the queer community in general and corporate sponsors.
I think that there are two things to consider. One is, you know, like how corporations can transform themselves, you know, like to reflect, you know, like their values in support of the LGBT communities and, you know, and some of like the current issues that have been coming up. The other part of that is, you know, it's a balance, you know, like so we want to celebrate the community and we don't want the float of the corporations taking over, you know, the entire parade. And, you know, and that's actually where some of these kind of like conversations happen. You know, it's not because, you know, like we don't want people to help fund the parade, but we don't want people only see all these like big corporations like logo, like on parade route. We want to see what the actual grassroots communities are doing. I think that there are a lot of changes that happen, you know, and kudos to Pride, you know, they make sure that they put community first, you know, in their contingents, you know, and then like corporations are like way, way, way in the back. So I think it's a two-way street. But I think that if we look at the benefits, there's more benefits. Like we were able to like help many of our corporate sponsors to adopt like equal benefit policy, and now, you know, like that same sex marriage is law of the land, you know, like so, you know, these companies already have the infrastructure to like expand and continue to support the community in a really meaningful way.
What do you see, either of you, what do you see as the importance of allies in our struggle?
There's a couple of things. I think first, the importance of their job is to listen to what people are telling you that they need and what they want. I think also some of the things that I've seen from some great allies. I mean, I have white allies that work at places like Color of Change, which is doing amazing work around organizing. And, you know, one of my good friends who's a deputy organizer there said, my job and a lot of time is to use my white privilege to help whatever way that I can with whatever campaign that we're on. So if I need to use my white face to get us in the door somewhere. I mean, we stormed the Facebook AGM last year, you know, because, I was with him. We just some random people walking with him, you know. So a lot of times with allies, it's that. But also, sometimes allies and privilege is about giving and getting money to folks who couldn't get it. I remember one time my friend Ebony Harper, who was an activist out of a black woman, trans woman activist out of Sacramento. And I remember she posted one time, she said, if you see a black trans woman, give her $20. And I was like, well, I don't have $20 to give her, but I do have the privilege of access to helping her get money from somebody else. So I can get her a speaking gig somewhere. I can do, you know, we recently were able to give money to the Transgender Cultural District and also to the LGBT COVID fund that we had received, you know, because we had the privilege of knowing someone was giving us that money. So if I can get some money and from some corporation and give it away to people that need it, I'm happy with that. Now, we do, to Cecilia's point, need to do a better job. And it sounds like we haven't done as good as they did in that original group of holding our corporations accountable. If people want to come to this party, they need to listen to what we're telling them that we need. And, you know, right now, I am getting to have those conversations with YouTube, who's owned by Google, about their content moderation practices. And that is all due to staying at the table, taking their money, and telling them, if we taking your money, you need to have us in these conversations. So that's the benefit of allies, I think, is, you know, I hate to say it like this, but at its base level, using the privilege that they have. That's to me the benefit.
You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guests are SF Pride President Carolyn Weisinger and Cecilia Chung, Director of Evaluation and Strategic Initiatives at the Transgender Law Center and an internationally recognized civil rights leader. We're discussing San Francisco's 50th Pride, how far we've come, where we are today, what we have to celebrate, and what we must still fight for. We'll hear more from them in a few minutes. Let's turn now to Jacqueline Chang, who leads Out at Comcast, Comcast California's LGBTQ Employee Resource Group, or ERG. Due to limitations of my COVID-required in-home studio, Jacqueline and I spoke separately earlier this week. First, I asked her what the ERG's purpose is.
Our ERG really takes pride in bringing awareness and education to not just our employee base, but also those around us. And it could be family and friends. We like to reach past just our immediate community. You know, we're very fortunate to live in California and have, for the most part, a pretty safe space for people to come out and be who they are out in the open public. But we still have a population of folks that maybe are not as comfortable merging that part of their lives into the workplace. And so when we say education, we really mean resources and awareness that we can provide people so that they have somewhere to go if they have questions. I can share a story about one of our employees. He's a supervisor here at our company, and had an employee come to him and reveal that he was going through a transition at the time. And this supervisor did what we hope every employee will do, you know, that's in a leadership role. And they came to the ERG and said, hey, this is my situation. I want to make sure I create a supportive space so that my employee feels 100% comfortable to tell me as much or as little as they want, but to know that I am supporting their transition. I will use the right pronouns. I will ensure that their employee peers are doing the same to make sure that they feel comfortable and nobody is, you know, feeling alienated. And so when I look at situations like that, that's really what we're trying to accomplish here, is to make sure that people know these things are happening among us, right? And what can we do to create this space that everyone can be their authentic selves without even having to think about it being an added effort?
I marched last year with my partner. My partner works for Levi Strauss. And as we marched along, it was great, but there were some people on the side kind of protesting and holding signs like, down with corporate influence, get the corporate stuff out of our parade. And that's been a controversy that's been growing over the years. And I'm curious to know how you have witnessed or observed that and what your thoughts are on that.
This is a great topic of conversation, I think, because while I understand the sentiments of what corporations typically have, in many scenarios, not been a great place for LGBTQ folks and their career advancement because of systemic injustices and maybe discrimination that we face in the workplace, I do think it's important that corporations are still a part of the conversation and a part of the big picture. You know, this is very similar to the allyship that we talk about, because our society as a whole, these corporations are how we live. We consume through these corporations, we work for these corporations, and we really do need these corporations to be our allies and to be a voice. Very apropos is we just heard about the SCOTUS ruling about LGBTQ employment laws. And this ruling on the Civil Rights Act, this is a win for us, right? And particularly as I think about corporations, now we know that you can no longer get married on a Sunday and fired on a Monday, that this is your legal right to represent who you are as exactly what you are, and that nobody can fire you for that. And corporations have a really, really big part to play in that, because it can't just be law and corporations say, okay, we'll concede, but it needs to be something that they shout from the rooftops and embrace.
Jacqueline, very nice to meet you. Thanks. Hopefully I'll see you in person someday.
Definitely.
That was Jacqueline Chang, president of the Employee Resource Group out at Comcast. Some closing comments now from Carolyn Weisinger, SF Pride Board President, and Cecilia Chung of the Transgender Law Center. We've been discussing San Francisco's 50th Pride, how far we've come, where we are today, and what we have to celebrate, and what we must still fight for. What do you see as the crucial steps we need to take now to support Black lives and our Black and trans queer community?
First, thank you, Carolyn, for continue to bring up Black trans women. And I think that that's really part of the front and center and the core of what this moment is about, because we have anti-Black violence. We still continue to see, women's rights being taken away, and we still see transphobia, and death related to transphobia. And so when we look at the intersection, that's where Black women, trans women show up, and we really need to do a better job. If you don't have $20 to give, like Carolyn said, find somebody who does, and give that way. There are a couple, there are more than a couple. There are many Black trans-led organizations now compared to where we were even 10 years ago. And so it's really, important to look at all these different organizations, that they're led by Black and trans men and women, and to really pour some resources into it because it's really a way to show allyship. You know, we are not a big community, but we can lean on, you know, like others who have numbers, you know, to show up. And thus you see the Brooklyn rally, you know, I bet you like maybe 60% of those people are non-Black and non-trans, you know, cis folks, but they show up. You know, that's something that I could not have imagined 10 years ago.
Yeah, that is a pretty amazing progress. And I hope that this is a real change and not just one of these things that we've seen so many times in the past where something happens and people get all riled up and then they forget about it 3 weeks later.
It's really important that we are able to celebrate our successes, especially in this moment, and at least keep Fantastic. That momentum until after November, please.
Yes. So Carolyn, the last thing I'm going to ask you is I'm going to turn a question back on you that you asked to several people. What gives you joy and hope in this moment?
I think the one thing that gives me joy is all of the young people. You know, I live here in El Cerrito, so not actually in San Francisco, and going to different things here in Richmond and El Cerrito, seeing the young folks in Oakland, in San Francisco. A lot of these are being organized by young people, so I'm excited to see that they are making change. They are engaged. They have historical perspective. Where some folks at their age never have. So that's what gives me joy. But also memes and viral videos give me joy. What gives me hope, you know, I mentioned that my family is originally from Louisiana, and my mother and my sister and my grandmother have since moved back. To see my tiny town in Louisiana have a die-in, and it's one of those towns where, you know, some southern towns are so small that they think that they have no race problem. They're like, they're race blind. So to see them actually stand up and say Black Lives Matter and know that it was mostly white people in this tiny hick town gives me hope that, you know, maybe folks all over are finally starting to see, and maybe this will be more than a moment. This will be a change.
That seriously gave me goosebumps. Thank you. Seriously.
Thank you.
So I'm going to close that out. I thank you so much both for your time. My guests today have been Carolyn Weisinger, SF Pride Board President, and Cecilia Chung, Director of Evaluation and Strategic Initiatives at the Transgender Law Center and an internationally recognized civil rights leader. Thank you both for being here and sharing your experiences and your stories.
Thank you.
Great talking to you both. Thank you.
Thanks also to Jacqueline Chang, President of the Queer Employee Resource Group out at Comcast. Planning for Pride? On our website, outinthebay.org, are links to many of the online events going on this weekend, and the live in-person Pride is a Riot rally and march Sunday. The online events include, of course, SF Pride's virtual celebration, the Trans March, the Dyke March, an abbreviated Frameline online queer film festival, iZen's Out of Sight Soma, and Oasis shows. They're listed at outinthebay.org at the end of the post about this week's episode. For more information about the other organizations mentioned in today's conversation and how to get involved, please see our website, outinthebay.org, where you can also hear this program again as well as past shows. While you're there, please sign up for our e-news and subscribe to our podcast, outinthebay.org. Have a question, comment, or suggestion? What do you want to hear next? You can find us on Facebook and at Twitter and Instagram at OutInTheBaySF, or write to us, outinthebaysf@gmail.com. Today's show was produced by Kendra Klang. Our theme song was written and performed by Holly Mead. Instead of our theme song, this week we'll go out with sounds from a recent Black Lives Matter demonstration provided by our co-producer, Truk Nguyen. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening, and take good care.
You can't have a movement without a beat.
You need a heart that drums the heart.
You see anger, you see grief, you see people demanding justice.
I see the beauty and the passion that is channeled out of this anger, out of this rage, out of this grief. I see that there's a willingness to show up. And I see us flexing our muscle and flexing what democracy really looks like, which is us saying that we are not okay with this and that there are always Black people dying, there are always poor people dying, there are always people dying, and these most recent deaths just represent a whole history of people whose lives are not valued. Identify as a son of an immigrant, identify as a queer man most of the time, and I identify as a human liberationist that is dedicated to a movement for freedom that is led with a black vanguard. I think that black movements are not just black movements, they're human movements and they're earth movements. And our liberation has just been a poster child for human freedom. Our activism is not a fad, but it's a part of a lineage.
Out in the Bay is proudly supported by Xfinity, celebrating pride with TV, movies, and more in 2020. Xfinity has curated an LGBTQ film and TV destination on its X1, Flex, and Stream platforms that celebrates the community all year long. Just say pride into your Xfinity voice remote.